Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. The Old Testament book of Ezekiel and Ezekiel in chapter number 20. The book of Ezekiel and chapter number 20. Ezekiel is one of those books that most people don't go to quite often. It is not a book where most people will preach out of too often. It is a heavy book. A lot of visions, a lot of complications, a lot of deep things. And yet, God still wants us to know things and remember that every part of the Word of God, God desires to reveal Himself to us. In the book of Ezekiel, God has Ezekiel who's on the Babylon side of things. He is away from Jerusalem. He's been taken captive. And God has been showing Ezekiel that God is protecting those captives while God is planning on destroying Jerusalem very shortly. He has already been giving Ezekiel and brought him to the temple. And Ezekiel got to witness the presence of God being removed from the temple. And now, in Ezekiel 20, there's a preparation time that very soon the temple will be destroyed. Very soon Jerusalem will be destroyed. And there's a lot of confusion, a lot of things going on. And a lot of the question, why? Why is this going on? Why has this happened to us? Why would God destroy a city with His name in it? Why would He destroy the temple, the place where He chose to put His name upon it? Why would He do that to a people that He has put His name upon? Why is it with God putting His name on the people, on the place, on the city, on the temple? Why would God allow destruction to come to a place? And Ezekiel takes some time. He's sitting with some elders in Ezekiel chapter 20. And he begins to give them the answer that God told him. And very clearly, over and over, God gives the answer in this passage. Notice with me in Ezekiel chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 7. Ezekiel chapter 20, and in verse number 7, the Bible says this: "Then said I, Ezekiel, unto them," those elders who came to see him, "Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me, and they did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, and whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness, and gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and they might know that I, the Lord, that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and they walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments. And if a man do, he should even live in them. And my Sabbaths were greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whom sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land that I'd given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them for destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, that they should be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me, and they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live of them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then they said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lift up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but have despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby that they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that opened the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they may know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up my hand to give to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they had offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. Also they made a sweet savor and poured out their drink offering. And I said unto them, what is the high place whereto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abominations? For when you offer gifts, and when you have made your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with your idols. Even unto this day shall I be inquired of you, say, house of Israel. As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh unto your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, and with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead with you face to face, like I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod and bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one of his idols. And hereafter also, if ye will not hearken to me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain, the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me, and there will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. And I will accept you with your sweet savor, and I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you've been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lift up my hand to give it to your fathers, and there shall ye remember your ways and your doings and all your doings, wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. Excuse me, verse 44 is where we're ending. And if you wouldn't mind, there's three times specifically a phrase is given. And we see these phrases three times. If you don't mind, I'd like just to show you one as I quickly look at it. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 14. But it says, I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted. We see that also again in verse number 22. And we also see it in verse number 9. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted. And with this, we're going to see the principle of not polluting God's name. Not polluting God's name. And with this, we have a very big and heavy subject that God addresses, not polluting God's name. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and that you would give us mercy, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us help as we understand this passage here. That we could get a picture, that we could understand how important your name is, and we can see how we ourselves, by our actions, by our doings, by our lifestyles, can pollute your great and holy name. Lord, I'm asking for much wisdom, that you would set my mind in order, that you would help me to clearly communicate what you want to get across, and that it would be a help. Lord, you do your own work, and I could trust you to do what I cannot do. Lord, speak to people through your precious word even now. And we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen. What a powerful phrase, not polluting God's name. As we've stated before, that God's name is not just a symbolic gesture, but it actually represents God's character. It represents his authority. It represents his glory. That God's name is a big deal. And God protects his name and he wants us to honor his name. And yet in this passage, it says that his name can be polluted. Now we live in an environmentally conscious age and we can understand pollution. For example, there are some rivers that you don't want to go into. For example, the Hudson River inside of New York. You do not want to take a swim in it. You will come out with slime and nastiness. You'll go inside. You can't breathe or you can't get in the water in your mouth. It will poison you. It is polluted. Could you imagine that you need to jump into a stream of water and you jump in and you come out and you've got slime and the water is just slowly just coming off of you because it's stuck. It's discolored. It's oily. It's tarry. It's, you don't want it on you. It's just nasty. We understand pollution. Pollution can make a beautiful scenery and it can make it awful with all the trash all over it. Pollution. We can know that there are some places that you could go and you go outside and you can't get a breath of fresh air. You have to go drive 100 miles away to get some fresh air because of the pollution. We know that pollution's not a good thing. It is something that defiles. It's something that messes up. It's something that just violates something that's pure. And it violates it with trash, with pollution. The word pollute in this passage here is used 8 different times in this one chapter, in this one passage, which just scores and underlines the seriousness of this sin. Polluting God's name is not just an act of irreverence, but it's a failure to uphold the honor and majesty that that name deserves. To pollute God's name. In here, God is giving an historical account of the people of Israel, that they started in Egypt and that they had started to pick up some bad habits of worshiping those idols. that he brings them through the wilderness, brings them out of Egypt to bring them to himself so they could see there's only one true God. And they kept worshiping other idols and kept getting their minds away from God. And God may had to make them wonder for 40 years. He brought them into the land of Israel out of his good name, out of his graciousness, not because they deserved it, but because of his great name. Brought them into the land that he had promised them, this great land, this land that was no like no other. And yet, they defiled God. They defiled and went back to serving other idols. They polluted the land. Could you imagine? This was a land of milk and honey. This was a land to be desired more than any other land. Today it's a desert. Today people are still fighting over it, but it's for the principle of the thing and not for the land itself. What happened? Judgment. The judgment came and it polluted the land because of their pollutions. And God told them that, listen, they still wouldn't get straight, so he had to go scatter them and send them to other nations for the purpose of trying to break them from worshiping other idols, from polluting his name. And they're scattered to this day. And one day God's going to gather them back, as he recounts in here, not because of their goodness, but because of God's goodness. But God gives a historical account of walking through and over how they polluted God's name and how they violated God's name. And we see God's mercy in it. But throughout this passage, we could see these repeated offenses of idolatry, of rebellion, of disobedience, all desecrating God's holy name. Despite of God's faithfulness, they turned around dragging his name in the mud with their actions and their attitudes. With their unfaithfulness, they continued to violate God's name. And yet God reveals his unwavering commitment to them because of the holiness of his name, proclaiming that he's even going to restore Israel in the future above all nations, not because of them, but because of his greatness of his name. So with that backdrop, let's just dive in and hit some principles that we find in this passage. We know it's a longer passage, and so we're not going to walk through verse by verse, but we are going to hit some of the principles we find in this passage that deals with the idea of polluting God's name. The first thing I want to show you is polluting God's name, a serious offense. Polluting God's name is a serious offense. God had separated Israel for the purpose of being his people, to be a reflection, to know him, to know his name, to know his character, to be a covenant, to make an agreement with them. And they were supposed to live their lives as if God was real. They were to live their life in response to a gracious God who loved them. He showed them faithfulness. He showed them his glory. He brought them out of Egypt and he told them to cast away every idol, to leave behind the corruption of the land of Egypt and to walk beside him, to walk in purity, to walk as a reflection of who he is. Yet they refused. There were three offenses here that God brings up that marred in his holy name, that polluted his holy name. The first action was their idolatry. They continued to go to other gods. Now, what is the purpose of idolatry? The purpose of idolatry comes to the idea that we don't think that God is enough, that we have to go to other gods. When we look at a world or a culture that has a polytheistic society, remember, poly means many, theistic is gods. So a polytheistic society, they develop many gods because they have in mind that one god is not enough. And so they need to go to the thunder god of Baal and pray to him that he would send forth the rains. That they have to go to the fertility goddess of Ashtaroth or Ishtar, or Aphrodite, or Venus, depending on the culture, and say, we need you to provide for us children. You need to make the mothers fertile so they could have children. And so you would go to a god that was specific. Why? Because one god is not enough. In addition, people would turn to idolatry for a simple reason. They did not like that one god's authority. They didn't want that one God to tell them what to do, so they would go to other gods that wouldn't be so mean, that wouldn't be so strict, gods that would allow them to do whatever they want, gods of their own comfort, gods that would ease their own mind without convicting them. And so they turned to idolatry, either for the reason that God was not enough or because they didn't like God's authority. And they would turn to other idols. And yet these are people that God is not yelling at the heathen, because the heathen's job is to be wicked, and they are indeed wicked. These are people who are supposed to be God's people that carried God's name, and they would turn to idols, either because God was not enough or because they didn't like his authority. Well, as we make it an application today, how do people today who are called Christians who bear God's name, how do we pollute God's name? The first reason's the same. We turn to idols. You say, well, wait a second, preacher. It's not like I have a big Buddha that I wake up in the morning and rub the belly and hope for good fortune. No, but we have other idols. We have other things that we turn to for comfort. We have other things that we go to for help. We go to other things because we don't want God's authority in our life. And we serve them. How do you know if something's an idol? You know it's an idol because if it speaks to you, you obey it. So many people have as a phone as their idol. It speaks to them, they must obey. It speaks to them. It's the other side of the room, and it's chirping, and they just can't help it. They've got to respond to their God. TV, computer, another person, job. We make idols of so many other things. And again, we're not talking about the heathen. We're not talking about the atheist or the agnostic. We're talking about Christians who bear God's name. And we pollute his name because we turn for help an instruction to something that is not God Almighty. And we allow someone else to tell us what to do, something else to command our attention, something else to bear our love, something else to bear our affection other than God, the God who died for us, the God who loved us. And because of that, we pollute his name, first of all, because of idols. There's a second thing that the Bible here talks about in this story that we read that deals with how we pollute. We don't only pollute God's name because of idolatry. We pollute God's name because of disobedience. Disobedience. Remember what I said before. Why do people turn to idols? It's either because they don't think God is enough or they don't want God telling them what to do. And so the people disobeyed. Over and over, God had spoken here that I gave them my statutes. I gave them my Sabbaths. And they disobeyed them. Over and over, they would turn against God's law. Over and over, God gave them this. Notice with me again in verse 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man will do, he will even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them up my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man will do, he will even live in them. And my Sabbaths were greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. What a statement. God said, listen, I did all this work. I set them to myself. I gave them laws and statutes which were good. If they would obey them, they would prosper. But they disobeyed me. They rebelled against me. They hurt themselves by it. And yet, all the time saying, I'm one of God's people, but I disobey him. Once again, how do we pollute God's name? We call ourselves Christians. Well, how come you don't go to church? Well, I don't think I have to. Well, you're a Christian, right? Yes. Do you read your Bible? Well, you got to understand, we don't really have to. And they pollute God's name. by disobedience. Do you know the lost world knows how to live like a Christian better than a Christian does? You go ask any lost person who doesn't have a church background, who's never been in church, you go up to them and say, what is a Christian supposed to do? Go to church, read their Bible, pray, give, tell others. They know how to live what a Christian's supposed to live like better than a Christian does. Something happens that we get saved and we lose our minds. And we call ourselves Christians, but all we show to a lost and dying world is that we're disobedient and we pollute God's name. Someone could say, I thought God was Lord. He is. Well, then how come you don't obey him? We pollute God's name. And notice, where do we pollute it? In front of the heathen. Notice God makes mention of this, verse 14. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. God was very big. Over and over, four times he would say that he didn't want his name polluted before the heathen. And yet, it was the people that called themselves God's people who did. First of all, because of idolatry. They would worship, put their affection, serve something else other than God Almighty. Second of all, because of their rebellion, their disobedience. That God gave clear instructions and they disobeyed him. And the heathen would watch. They would say, I thought you're one of God's people. How come you're doing this? Well, you got to understand. And we give it excuses. And the heathen say, well, then their God must not be real. Their God must not be Lord. Their God must not be real. Their God must not be. And we pollute God's good, holy, righteous name before the heathen. No wonder they don't trust God, because we don't trust God. But you know, there's a third reason here. Third way that we pollute God's name. First of all, it is because of idolatry. Second of all, it is because of disobedience, rebellion. Third of all, it happens because of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The people that claim to be his people, but their lives told a different story. They carry the outward mark of belonging, but their hearts were far from him. Their lives made a mockery of the covenant, the agreement, the promises that God gave them that they claimed to treasure. God had designed Israel to be a people that reflected God's glory. And because of that, the rest of the nation say, I want to know that God. And because of their pollution, none of the nations wanted to get to know their God. They laughed at their God. And yet today, people don't take our God seriously because of the hypocrisy we have in our lives. I was reading a thing from an atheist, and he was saying, all Christians I know are full of hypocrisy. That's a bad reflection of our God. You see, either our God is real or he's not. And if our God's real, we should live like he's real. Or stop calling ourselves Christians. And yet over and over, hypocrisy. Remember, the word hypocrisy carries the idea of actor. Playing a part. Playing a part. And yet Christians all over are playing like they're holier than thou. And they carry bigger sins than the heathen do. The way that they speak. The songs they listen to. The humor. The things they get involved with. And understand that disobedience is a little bit different than hypocrisy. I could be a sinner and admit that I'm a sinner. Hypocrisy is someone who's not right with God, pretending that they're right and trying to put on a big show of how right they are, of how great they are, how spiritual they are. And it pollutes God's name. Because remember, we're a reflection of our great God. And with our bad attitudes, our horrible, rotten spirits, we turn people away from God. From the hypocrisy we carry, oh, how I'm a good Christian, and we cheat people out, and we are clearly not what we say we are. People say, I don't want anything to do with that God. Polluting God's name is a serious offense. Which brings us to another thing. God's response to the pollution of his name. God's response to the pollution of his God's name. Now, over and over, God is trying to say what he is going to do. And there's some things in here that are pretty amazing. Notice with me, if you don't mind, verse 13. He says, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and they walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. My Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted, the heathen whose sight I brought them out. You know, God has to protect his name. He has to prove that he is real. And so there were times in Israel's life that the judgment of God fell upon them. Why? Because God had to show everyone, including the heathen, that God was a righteous God. These people were being unrighteous and carrying his name, and so he poured out his fury. The judgment of God. That's a very big deal. Now, there were many times that God would restrain his wrath, that we were deserving of it, but he restrained it. But never get to the place of confusing God's mercy as God excusing away sin. Judgment will come. Even a delay in judgment was a reminder that God is a holy God and that judgment is coming. His covenant is based off of his name, not on their faithfulness. God will protect his name. God judged his people with purpose. He would correct their behavior. He would work on them. Every hardship they faced was evidence that God was a holy God. People in traveling in the wilderness, they murmured against God, and God sent to them serpents to bite them. Judgment came. But he also gave them a way of escape and told Moses to put a serpent on the staff. And if they would just look, they would live. All of that showed God is a holy God. He did not stand for sin. Sin deserves to be punished. We deserve to die. But he gave a way of escape. His mercy is not takes away from his holiness, and it reinforces it that he is a good God. And he loves and he is willing to forgive. If people would be willing to accept that gift over and over, they would be under the judgment of God. Over and over, they would come. Over and over, God would withstand his hand, give them mercy, or chase them as they did. But he proved over and over, he will defend his name. You know, one of the worst things a Christian can do is pollute his holy name. The Bible talks about this in the book of 1 John chapter 5, that there is a sin unto death. That's a dangerous place to be. David calls it a presumptuous sin in Psalm 51. What is a presumptuous sin? It is a sin that we know is wrong, but we presume that God is not going to send down judgment, that God is not going to send down his wrath. That's a dangerous thing, a presumptuous sin. By the way, we're very guilty of it. I know this isn't right, but God's not going to do anything to me, so I'm going to do it anyways. That's a presumptuous sin. We presume upon his grace. We presume upon his great name. And again, we get to the place where we think it's more weakness. God won't do anything to me. But God will defend his holy name. God will protect his name. There are many people who profess to be Christians who God will take out early. And I do believe that God will take some people out early just so they won't continue to mar his name. God will protect his name. Don't you doubt that for a moment. Now, there's times of graciousness that he says, listen, if I just show them grace, maybe they'll come back to me. And then we could all say, what a great name that I have together when they said, I deserved it, but he didn't give it to me. God shows great graciousness. But again, God takes this very seriously. Which brings us to something else. the consequences of polluting God's name. The consequences of polluting God's name. There are consequences, and some of them we don't even realize are consequences. Jump with me, if you don't mind, to verse number 23. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 23. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. And God did do that. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes. Notice that word despised. We've seen it a couple different times. And there's a principle. Remember, the word despise is an emotion. It carries the idea of disgust, of rejection. Do you know that before you could ever disobey God's word, you must first despise his word? What does that mean? You have to look at God's word and say, that is not for me. It doesn't apply to me. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. You have to have an emotional response to God's word to disobey it. And God pinpoints the exact emotion, despise. Despise. You know, if you despise the thing God loves, which is his word, you're not on good ground. And there's going to be consequences. We need to be careful when we come up to these choices. Do we obey or disobey? Because you have to make an emotional response according to the word of God to despise God's word. This is not for me. I don't like it. It doesn't apply to me. I don't have to obey it. And then I disobey. So over and over, especially in Ezekiel, you'll see when they disobey God's word, they'll often have this emotion of despised. This isn't the first time we've seen it in this chapter, and it will go on through the rest of the book. Despise. Notice it goes on. Verse 24, because they had not executed my judgments, but have despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, so because of all of this, I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. Now, God before gave his word so they could live. But they didn't want to obey God's word. They despised it. So God says, I'm going to give them things to obey they're not going to like. How does he do that? Civil government. Do you know that sometimes God could use the government to give you laws that are going to hurt you, not help you? And that's a judgment of God. Interesting, isn't it? Things that they're going to end up hurting you because now you have to obey them or else. And they're not going to help. But notice verse 26. This verse should spin chills down your spine when we understand it. And I polluted them in their own gifts that they caused to pass through the fire all that opened the womb, that I may make them desolate, to the end that they may know that I am the Lord. What is happening here? God allowed them to take the babies that are born and to sacrifice them in fire, to give them to other gods. And God says, I'm doing this to make them desolate. They want to obey these laws and it's going to hurt them and I'm going to allow it. Do you know what we see here? Is that God sends and allows us to have abortions to be legal to send a judgment upon us. Do you know with some of those kids that are being killed are brilliant scientists, world leaders, peacemakers, people that could do good, and we killed them? And God says, I allowed this to happen because they won't obey me. I'm going to allow them to kill their own children and end up hurting themselves. God says, this is what they brought to. They polluted my name, and I'm going to allow them to be polluted themselves. He says, I'm going to allow them to be desolate. Do you know that if, let's say liberal folks, they keep killing their kids, they're not going to have any more kids left. there's so many things here. I understand that we are against the killing of children, but God says, listen, I put that as a judgment. I put this as something in there so that way they could look back and say, wow, we need God. Look at what God allowed, how we destroyed ourselves if we would have just listened to God. God was the right way to do things after all. That is interesting. It is heartbreaking. And if God will allow this to go so far, what has God allowed in your life? Because you said, listen, I'm going to do whatever I want. God says, fine. You obey your law that you want, and it's going to end up hurting you. And you're going to turn around and say, listen, I should have listened to God in the first place. I wouldn't have been in this mess. God was right the entire time. See, God will protect his name, and he will work in our own lives, so we could say, listen, God was right. I was wrong. I went so far. I shouldn't have been here. Why am I here? How did I get here? God says, I gave you your own thing. I let you obey. I let you pollute your own self. That's what you wanted, wasn't it? You despised my word, and so I gave you something else to obey. You obeyed something that was going to be lesser than. You wanted your sexual revolution, your freedom, here you go. It's what you get. You wanted to have no morals, here you go. It's what you get. Do you know the things that happen in our country is now many of those things are law and even more things are being lawed? Didn't happen because of the LGBTQ2+. It happened because God's people refused to obey his law. And he says, fine, I'll give you some things here that is not my law, that is going to go against it, and it's going to cost you. Do you know if God's people made a stand and lived right years ago, we would not be here now? You could look at every social problem we have in America. All of it came because Christians did not behave like Christians. And God allowed our land to be polluted, Christians to have zero influence, and we're at a place of helplessness. And we could have just said, if we would have just obeyed God, we wouldn't have been here. We live in a polluted land, and it's our fault. There's consequences for polluting his name. What's sad is that Christians still don't wake up to it. We don't want to live like Christians. We don't want to do what's right. It's too hard, too much. It takes away too much of my time. And the world gets more and more polluted. Couldn't we say that of our culture today of America? It's polluted. It is not clean. We don't have the moral fiber we used to. We don't have the work ethic we used to. If you could forgive current events, I usually don't bring them in, but many of you may saw that New York City is probably going to get Islamic mayor. How many years ago was 9/11? And now we're getting an Islamic socialist as the mayor of New York. How did we get there? Christians didn't behave like Christians. The land, God's name was polluted, so God allowed the land to be polluted. And we have consequences upon consequences until finally we wake up. You know, people praying for a national revival. You know what's going to happen? What's going to cause a national revival? Persecution. When it is no longer legal for us to have it. And then we go, what happened? We didn't honor God. And God allowed this to happen so we could wake up and say, you know what? God was right the whole time. That should frighten us all. There are consequences to polluting God's name. And we're living in consequences, and it's going to get worse. By the way, this isn't the chalking up. Well, it's just going to get worse and worse. No, no, no. This is consequences of our own actions. That we should have listened to God in the first place. And honored his name. But God says, nope, fine. I'm going to allow you to have laws that are not for me and that are going to hurt you. And you're going to see that I was right the whole time. The consequences for polluting God's name. Oh, that should break our heart. But we could see there's one more thing. God's ultimate purpose is to honor his name. Starting in verse number 39, we come to a millennial kingdom passage where God is once again dealing with the people of Israel and saying, listen, I've still got promises, and I'm going to keep these promises of the millennial kingdom, and I'm going to keep the promises of putting you in the land. I'm going to keep these promises of bringing you back, not because of you, but because my name is holy, and I will keep my own name. Quickly to just read through it, verse number 39. It says, as for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken to me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them. And there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. And I will accept you with your sweet savor. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you from out of the countries wherein you have scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up my hand to give to you, to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you've committed, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, wherein I have wrought you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. We do have a good God, and his ultimate purpose is to lift up his holy name. He will be magnified. He has plans for Israel to say, listen, I can't finish these promises because of my goodness, not because of you. And God is a good God to us, and he will lift up his name, and he will get it accomplished one way or another. He will honor his own name because he is God. He is the God of the universe. We can either join in with him, or he could bring us to the place where we'll look back, and as he said there, you will loathe yourselves. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I was in the way. Lord, I was against your plan, and I didn't even realize it. I was so worried about myself, I didn't realize the damage I was doing to your name. I didn't realize how I was polluting your name. I just was thinking about myself. God says, I know. And God will do everything he can to glorify his own name when it's all said and done. You see, it's at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ will be the judge of all of the earth, and both the judgment of those who are saved and those who are lost. At the name of Jesus, everyone will glorify that name. Everyone will acknowledge who he is. God will glorify it at the end. But why don't we glorify it now? Let's take time in our lives. Again, it's not a thing where on Sunday morning I take time, praise his holy name, and then I'm good for the week. It's living my life glorying his name, not polluting it, not giving an occasion where people can say, you're a Christian and you do this. We need to be very careful that we're not polluting his name. As we had talked about on Sunday night, God made it very clear on the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless for those who taketh his name in vain. As we go in here, we see it even worse. It's not just taking God's name lightly, it's actually polluting his holy name. Taking something that is clean and righteous and pure, and because of our own actions in the sight of others, God's name no longer is high, no longer holy, no longer lifted up. That God is no longer an authoritative God. God is no longer Lord. He's no longer master. He's a little g god to put with the rest of them because the way we treat him, the way that we behave. No wonder the world around us falls apart. But again, I'm thankful God is not limited to humans. God will glorify his own name and he will do something. He will work. I'd rather be on the winning side. I'd rather be on the side that gets his blessing. I'd rather be at the place where people say, I know God is real because of his life. The way that he lives, I know God is real. That's the testimony we ought to have. The darker and the more polluted and filthy this world is, purity will stand out more. There is a power in purity. Let's strive to make God's name big. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, oh Lord, what a convicting message. I can't speak for everyone, but I know my own shortfallings, my own times where I've failed you, where I violated your name, where I polluted your name. Why I didn't live my life the way that I should, and others saw, and it repulsed them. No, not a single one of us want to drink a polluted glass of water. Not a single one of us want to go dip ourselves in a polluted river. Neither does a lost world want to pollute themselves or to dive in, to be a part of a polluted God. Lord, help us to carry your name high, holy, and lifted up. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.